May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 908. 908. Saved is the sinner that believes, the sacred gospel annals show. To him repentance Jesus gives, and sin's complete remission too. Hymn number 908.
Thank you. For our reading this evening, let us turn to the book of Psalms and we'll read two Psalms, Psalm 51, and Psalm 103. But firstly, we'll read Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And now we'll turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's leave the reading of God's word there, and may we each be given that help now to rightly pray. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, we bow now before thee in prayer. Lord, may our hearts be bowed too, as well as our heads, that we may be rightly humbled before thy presence, the one true and living God. For as we gather in thy presence tonight, we know that thou seest the innermost thoughts of every one of us. Thou knowest the past, the present, the future. And we stand in awe at thy power and might. But Lord, we stand also amazed at thy love, O Heavenly Father, that thou wouldest make a way for poor unworthy sinners to approach thy holy name. Those that deserve thy wrath, and yet there is mercy. For thou didst send thy dear Son into this world to be that perfect sin-atoning sacrifice. And as we gather for worship this evening and gather round thy table to remember our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ later on, may we remember that great cost, the enormous cost, the blood of Jesus Christ, that washes our sins away, makes us as white as snow. And may, Lord, if there be those tonight that know not that cleansing flood, know not their sins forgiven, Lord, implant within their hearts that new heart, that desire to seek after thee. Where there are those desiring to, or are seeking after that forgiveness of sin, Lord, do reveal a precious Christ by thy Spirit to their souls. so that they may indeed rest not in their own works or lack of works, not to rest anything in anything other than Christ and Him crucified. It is the sinner's only plea, and we thank Thee, Lord, for the precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that even now we do not have to approach unto Thee through sacrifices and through high priests, but we come unto Thee through the perfect sacrifice of the perfect priest, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to enable us to come boldly to the throne of grace this evening, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And we thank Thee that there is one at Thy right hand who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, may it provide comfort for our hearts this evening, that a man there is, a real man with wounds still gaping wide. Lord, we look and we long to look more at a crucified Saviour, not with those literal eyes, but to behold by faith that perfect sacrifice. So tonight, as we gather round Thy word, Thou knowest the needs of the people, the prayers that have gone up today, the transgressions that they have fallen into, and all and everything about them, the troubles they may be in, Lord. May everybody be able to set everything aside and come into Thine earthly courts. And from what Thou dost give us from Thy word tonight, we may give unto Thee praise and honour and glory through our worship together. May it not just be another day in the calendar, another Lord's Day that is ticked off the list, but may this be a day where our souls are fed and nourished, our hearts are lifted up, and where by Thy grace we may desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So we come this evening, and wherever each and every one has gathered for worship through the day, and as we assemble together this evening, may the words spoken tonight further enhance that which has gone before and build upon that which has already been spoken. And may, as we gather tonight, there be that done. Lord, we plead for Thy Spirit's presence to apply those words to our heart, to illumine the Scriptures, so that we this evening may not be left to our own private interpretation, but that we may be led by Thy Spirit, by the preached word, by Thy kindness, to find rest and peace and comfort for our souls. So Lord, we come and we do so with sorrow over our sin. Oh Lord, we pray that we may know the sanctifying power of Thy Spirit more and more, so that we may be led away from all that is wrong. We may know more of a precious Christ and the cost of our sin. Oh Lord, may we mourn over it more deeply, confess it more fully, and Lord, be led to the wounded side of our Saviour. But Lord, we thank Thee that we have strength to be here this evening. Each and every one of us, that we've been kept safe through another day. Our hearts have remained beating. Our breath is within us still. And we know there must be a last Lord's Day. Whether it will be the last one for any of us today, whether it will be a last one this year, we do not know. All is in Thy hand. All events at Thy command. But Lord, may we be a prepared people, ready to be with Thee. So we thank Thee for the precious liberty that we have in being able to gather together for worship. When we look back to centuries past where there was not that freedom, where there were far greater restrictions than we know now, where there was far greater trouble than what we are in now. Lord, we thank Thee that we have our freedoms, that we have Thy word before us in a language that we can understand, that we have bountiful copies of it, Lord, to study, to read, to pray over. May we value Thy word more and more, but may it not just be words on a page, but may it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we pray for all here tonight, young and old. We pray again for the children and young people with us. Lord, do be with them all. those that have had tests, exams, those that are expecting to go from one stage of education to another, those that may wonder what the future holds for them. Lord, do give each and every one of them that diligence to make the most of the gifts and abilities that thou hast given them in their individual way, that they may put them to the best use, Lord, for the honour and glory of thy kingdom. And in their tender years, Lord, they may not naturally think of these things and how they can serve the Lord, but we pray that they may be kept from all the dangers about them, that they may be kept from the many lures and amusements that can lead into sin. We pray that they may be kept in that narrow way. They may remember their Creator in the days of their youth. They may have that right fear and respect and love to their parents, and that the parents will return it in that right way too. Lord, be with those that preach the word in this place, that they may preach in a way that the children can understand too, so that week by week they in the congregation may be fed, the lambs as well as the sheep. So bless them in their pathways, provide for them in all their needs. That which they may have studied in the Sunday school this afternoon, may it be a blessing to them there. And may they not just have a Sunday religion, but may read the Bible too, may seek thy face in prayer. We pray for parents here in their bringing up of their children, that they may attend to family worship. They may set that time aside to read, to pray, and to worship thee. Lord, may we not neglect these things in the days of the week and leave it all till thy day. So be with those who are seeking partners for life, those single here who may be desiring, Lord, that opening of thy goodness to them. Lord, may thy hand be seen in these matters, and we pray that thou wilt provide for them in all ways. Lord, may there be, we thank thee for the very young children and babies that are here, and as we see another generation coming forth into this place, we pray that they may be kept and may grow to be pillars, but we will pray and remember all those that have left thy house, have gone into the world, see no need to come and gather any more. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, bring them back, if it be thy will. Lord, call them by thy irresistible grace, so that repenting sinners may turn again. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. No one is too far gone. Help each and every one of us to be that right example in our daily lives, so that we are a help rather than a stumbling block. And may those opportunities in our daily lives be given to speak well of thee, so that we may be that light in a dark place, so that we may truly know thy goodness and be able to proclaim it to those about us. Pray for those older in years and those feeling weakness and affliction. We pray for our brother the deacon here after his accident. Lord, do we pray. Be very near, and we thank thee for the sweet peace and gentle spirit that he has been given in this affliction, Lord. To give him submission still to thy will, and although we may sometimes never understand why certain things may come into our life, Lord, some things are revealed to us and some things will always be hidden, but grant submission to thy will, whatever it may be. And Lord, we pray that in thy due time he may return to this place to worship with the people here, to take up his duties. So do help him and help his fellow deacon too, Lord, we pray. And Lord, may they together know thy love going and flowing between them all. And as they seek to make those engagements for the coming year and to fill the pulpit with that living ministry, O Lord, grant much wisdom, we pray. So that it may not just be a case of the pulpit being filled, but that it may be filled with those that proclaim the word of truth, the whole counsel of God, and that there may be seed sown on prepared ground that brings forth fruit. Lord, we pray once more for our nation as we await to see what will unfold in these coming weeks and months. Lord, we know not where the scene will end. But Lord, may we not be so cast down and despairing. For what era would we prefer to be in when we look back upon the history of this earth? We are here when we are here. We are called to do that which all thy people are called to do in whatever era and century they may be in. To be that faithful witness, to be that humble example, to be those that love their enemies as themselves, and to indeed have that right spirit. We pray that we may know more of the fruit of the Spirit individually and collectively, and that in the life and history of our nation we may see a turning again. Lord, we do not deserve it, but in wrath remember mercy, we plead with thee. Pray for our royal family too at this time. Thine afflicting hand has been upon them. Lord, may we see the fruit of it. May we see an acknowledgement of thee. And Lord, where we see false religions rising up so powerfully in this land, where we see those idol worshippers spreading forth their idols with such power, Lord, whatever they may be, oh Lord, turn us again. Turn us at this time. But Lord, turn us individually too. Lord, may we not just be content with a static religion, but may we ever be desiring to be those that grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And now as we gather around thy table later on, Lord, fit us and prepare us for it, so that we may do so solemnly and reverently with thanksgiving for that which is before us. Give us faith to remember and come down into our midst, we pray. Lord, we know that without thee we can do nothing tonight, any of us. But we know, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me and indeed all of us. So do give the people those ears to hear this evening. Any tiredness, may it be removed from them. So give them that focus, Lord, to listen, and give us every word to speak. Lord, we are in need this evening. We're in need every time we stand. Lord, do open our mouth wide and fill it, we pray, so that tonight we may be thy messenger with thy message for the good of the souls before us, that we may go on our way rejoicing that thy word will stay with us even as we go on. We pray that thou wilt work in this church and congregation, that the baptizing pool before us will be opened this year, that there will be those added to the church. We thank thee where thy powerful hand is being seen, working in the varying churches, and may we see it again here and in other places too. Lord, work indeed. Work, we plead, not for our pride, but for thine honour and glory and thy praise. So now, Lord, we come and fall before thee and seek thy divine aid and help. Come and be with us as we sing thy praises, and in all aspects of worship tonight, be in and through it all. So by the power of thy Spirit, Lord, do bless us. Do come with power. Leave us not just to mumble and fumble along, but Lord, lead and direct, and give that word for the people, so that tonight we may truly worship thee. Forgive all we've asked amiss, that which we've forgotten to pray for may have been prayed for by those before us, and our cry be a united cry unto thee. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 160. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Hymn number 160.
Thank you.
Be pleased to help us each once more as we gather around his word this evening. And I'll ask you to turn to the second psalm that we read, Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 10. Psalm 103 and verse 10, but I'll read verses 10 to 14. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In this Psalm of David's, it is really an exhortation contained in this psalm to bless and to praise God for his mercy. And one of the key points to this psalm is this 10th verse, that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We are living now in a culture where we think we deserve this and deserve that, and we deserve the other. We should be given this and given that, and it is our human rights to receive varying things. But whatever nation we may live in, whatever freedoms we may have, all have not been given what they deserve. All have not been given what they deserve for their sins. And as you and I gather in this chapel tonight, this 10th verse is so true of every one of us. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That may be the extent of what you can say, but can you not say this? He's not given us what we deserve. David knew what it was to see a little of his sin. And do you know what that is too? You may go through a week and suddenly it comes upon you with a certain weight and gravity. All what you have done this week, or not all, the one or two things that you have done this week that should never have been done. The little weight of your sin. But does it ever amaze you why it suddenly comes upon you and you are led to ponder that you are a sinner? And it may come out of nowhere. Or it may come from a circumstance or something that suddenly comes upon you and your eyes are opened. Not just that you've done wrong, but that you've sinned against the Lord. We read that 51st Psalm together, really based upon that experience of what we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, where Nathan the prophet came and gave David that little parable of that rich man and the poor man and that lamb. And how the rich man came and took that poor man's lamb and dressed it for his visitor that had come to see him. And that little example to David made anger come up within David's heart, so that he said, "The Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." David was wanting to dish out some justice, to dish out to this rich man what he deserved. And then those words of Nathan came to David. "Thou art the man." And that's the word of the Lord to each and every one of you tonight. You're the person in this chapel tonight that has done this thing that means that you should surely die. But what did David then do? David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned." But he didn't just say, "I have sinned." Because you catch a shoplifter, a murderer is caught, some great criminal is apprehended, and they say, and they may say, "I have sinned. I've done something wrong." But there's a difference between knowing you've done wrong and knowing that you have sinned against the Lord. That's what David said. "I have sinned against the Lord." You and I tonight have sinned, are continuing to sin, and will carry on sinning against the Lord. And I cannot convince and convict you of sin. That is alone the work of the Holy Spirit. Because you will leave this chapel completely unchanged. Even though we may speak about sin and hell and judgment and damnation and mercy. But it is clear in Romans, and we'll lay it out for you again as we often do, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know that tonight? Do you know what you deserve? Because you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, maybe we should go a little deeper. What do we deserve? What do we deserve because of our sinfulness? Because our sin against the law and his holiness? What do we deserve? What does Jesus say in Matthew? When he speaks about the kingdom of heaven and hell, he says, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Do you know this tonight? Do you understand this? This is what you and I deserve. This may be water off a duck's back tonight, and I expect it will be to some of you, but it is what we deserve. But do you also know a little comforting verse we find in John's epistle? "For those of you that tremble before a holy God and know that you have sinned and come short of his glory," there is a little verse that says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." This difference to the convicted sinner is the glorious sound of the gospel truth. Not that Jesus could or may or has the ability to forgive our sins. He is, as it were, obligated to. Because if he has given a seed of faith, if he has given a little bit of, if he has given conviction of sin, if he has given a love unto the Saviour, it is through his goodness. He has begun a work within you, and where he has begun that work, he will carry that work on. And he is faithful and just to forgive sins, all sins of those that have been turned to him. Because I can't turn you to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can. But those whom he turns will be led to believe, to rest in him. So David said in that psalm, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. We want to go slightly further on this thought. Sin must be punished. He has not dealt with us according to our sin. But that does not mean that that sin, the price of that sin, the wages of sin is death. That does not mean that that balance, that account has not been satisfied. Dear friends, we can have no faith in a God that is unjust. But he is just. He is faithful. And his people are justified by faith. And it is through that we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because every sin of every one of the Lord's people has been borne, carried, laid upon the precious Saviour. We have just sung that beautiful hymn together tonight, haven't we? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. That fountain filled with blood is still there. Because the world is still here. When the last one of his elect are gathered to be with him, that world will end. That stream of mercy is still open. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But dear friends, are you amazed at this mercy? That he hath not dealt with us after our sins. The mercy of our good God, that he would make a way for unworthy sinners to come into his presence. That's what David pleaded for, wasn't it, in those verses of Psalm 51. The mercy of God. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Is that your cry tonight, sinner? Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That was the cry in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, wasn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the cry. And is that your cry tonight? But in measure it will be, dear friends. Some will come under great conviction of sin, like David. Others, like Lydia or other people we may read of in the scripture and of their conversions, we do not know really how they were turned. But there can be no one that loves the Lord without realizing why they love the Lord. Because we love the Lord because he loves us. And because he loves us despite what we are. Because it's very easy in our lives, in our personal relationships, to love those that we could say deserve our love or have some form of attraction to us, whether it be family or a loved one or a partner. We love them because there is a purpose behind our loving them. We do nothing, dear friends, to merit the love and favour of our God, because he hath not dealt with us after our sins. We do not deserve to be loved. And I often think of the verses in Romans chapter 9 where it speaks on the doctrine of election. Romans chapter 9, we read in there, don't we, about whom the Lord calls and whom he chooses. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. We read earlier on in that passage, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Dear friends, may we never ask the Lord for justice. May we beg for mercy. Because if you want justice from a holy God, it will be, Jacob have I hated, Esau have I hated, everyone in this chapel have I hated, because none of you have done anything to merit my favour and love. But he has a people whom he shows his love and mercy upon. He has a people that he has gathered into this chapel tonight to hear the gospel, the good news of salvation, that there is a way for unworthy sinners to come before a holy God. But when that calling power of God comes, when that work is begun and carried on with your soul, you'll be amazed more and more at this mercy of God. But maybe before we go too far down the route of this mercy, let's just try and explain it simply to the children here tonight. What is mercy? What do we mean when we say the word mercy? One simple way of explaining it is this. God's grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And God's mercy is him withholding from us what we do deserve. And this is why the psalmist here is speaking so much in this psalm about the mercy of God. Because he knows what he deserves. And you children know that sometimes, don't you? You will do something that you've been told not to do, whether it be at home or at school or wherever you may be. And you know that because you've done that, you deserve something. You deserve something. Sometimes in love, your parents may tell you off. Sometimes in love, they may show mercy and not be as extreme in their punishment of you as what you deserve. But may that be an example and an illustration of how God deals with his people, his children. He doesn't deal with them as they deserve. But he does still chasten. Let us just touch this briefly before we move on. Just because he has not dealt with us after our sins does not mean that he will not chasten, we could say rebuke or tell off or correct his children. That is very clear, and we read that time and time again. And I'll just turn to a verse in Hebrews that clears that up so beautifully, where it says in Hebrews chapter 12 about natural fathers, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yes, the Lord does not give us what we deserve. But that doesn't mean that from time to time, maybe frequently, we will know his chastening hand upon us in love and in mercy to correct us like a loving parent would do. But to move on this evening. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What should this lead us to as we ponder this marvellous truth of God's mercy through Christ. It should lead us to humility. It should lead us to humbly fall before him and worship him this evening. Why mercy for an unworthy sinner you and I will never understand? You will never be able to understand why he has mercy on some and not on others. Why you have been kept even to attending a place of worship, or been born into a family that attends a place of worship, and to hear the sound of the gospel, and then to be touched through the sound of the gospel, and be led to faith and repentance in Christ Jesus. Does it not humble you that an almighty God, the one true and living God, has worked in and through the circumstances of your life to hear his voice through the preached word? He's not dealt with you after your sins, dear soul, tonight. He's not rewarded you according to your iniquities. There is still hope in the gospel day for any that feel cut off. It should lead to true humility. It should do. But there is also a way when we realise he's not dealt with us after our sins. It should lead to a right sorrow. There should be a sorrow over sin. When we, as David saw here, yes, he was full of thankfulness for mercy, for the mercy of his God. But you know, like Peter, he went out and wept bitterly and pondered his sin and wrestled over it when he denied his Lord thrice. And that should be where we are led to. Cleanse me, Lord, not only from the guilt of sin, but from the power of sin, so that I may be kept from doing this and doing that which I know is wrong in thy sight. By the power of thy Spirit, give me strength to mortify the deeds of the flesh. By the power of the Spirit, help me to cut off that hand, metaphorically speaking, that offends thee, and to pluck out that eye that is doing such harm. It should lead to sorrow. Should lead to that true godly sorrow over our sin. But like we started earlier, and won't dwell on this, it should lead to confession. Don't ever be afraid to name your sins before the Lord, specifically. To speak them out to the Lord, one by one. To acknowledge every little thing that you have done wrong. To confess them before him. You know, sometimes maybe it's just me too ashamed to mention my sins to the Lord, but he knows them all anyway. He knows every single one, and far more than I know. He knows everything. Have that union and communion with him. Lay them before him. Confess them so that you can see how grievous they are in his sight. But dear friends, what should it truly lead to as well? That he has not dealt with us after our sins. It should lead to that true heart of gratitude. That true heart of gratitude. That's why the hymn writer in that hymn 11 is so overcome with gratitude, isn't he, as he ponders the Lord's mercy. Thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its glories I'll sing. And its wonders I'll tell. Why? 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. There's gratitude in that hymn. And what's the title of that hymn? Singing of Mercy. A heart full of gratitude, because thy mercy is more than a match for my heart, which wonders to feel its own hardness depart. Dissolved by thy goodness, I fall to the ground and weep to the praise of the mercy I found. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. It will lead to gratitude, and it will lead to worship. It will lead to worship, but sometimes I think we can think that worship is just singing praises. And yes, that is an integral part of worship. But I do love that verse where it speaks of that woman who cried, and it says of her, she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. There's worship there, dear soul, tonight. If you know he has not dealt with you after your sins, but you still feel the weight and burden of them, come and worship the Lord and cry for help. Come and worship the Lord and seek his face, because that's the invitation that he gives to poor sinners who realise that he has not dealt with us after our sins. He says to those sinners, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And there is worship in asking him for his help. That is what he longs for his people to do, to come to him and admit that they are vile and wretched and unclean, and their only hope is through the precious cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Worship him. This is what you should be led to do when you understand he has not dealt with us after our sins, that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. But what also should it lead to? For those that know that they have not that he has not dealt with us after our sins, and that our sins are cleansed in the precious blood of Christ, it should lead to confidence. To confidence in the perfect sin-atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. And for those that are united with him, he will not deal with us after our sins. And he cannot deal with us after our sins. Because those sins have been paid for. There are the lines of the hymn, and I don't think I'll be able to quote it correctly. But it says, doesn't it, that basically those sins cannot be paid twice for. Once at my Saviour's bleeding hand and once again at mine. Those sins are paid for. They're done away with. We are justified by faith. The doctrine of justification is a one-off transaction. The transaction is done. It is paid. It is sealed. It is signed. There is a confidence in that doctrine, in the truth ordered in the Scripture for us to rest in. Doesn't mean we won't battle with sin. It doesn't mean we won't need the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that we may feel to be wretched and undone time and time again. But it does mean that once cleansed, always cleansed, for those that are washed in the Saviour's blood. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. What else should this lead to? It should lead to patience with others. Because if we know a little of what we deserve, and if we know a little of the mercy of God to us, then surely, dear friends, that mercy should flow from our actions outward to others. And I'm trying to think of a parable we read of in Matthew's Gospel. We read, if I can find it in Matthew chapter 18, we read, there we are, of that servant that had a debt. We read there, don't we? The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You know, dear friends, sometimes I wonder how much I know of the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, when my unmerciful heart rises up within me and my unforgiving spirit seems to get the mastery again. Dear friends, do you know what that is? Oh, that we may have patience towards others because of what Christ has done. Isn't this what Paul was writing about as he wrote to the church in Colossae? He wrote there, didn't he? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know, those sins have been nailed to the cross. Those all that is wrong has been blotted out. And should not that be what is seen in the heart of the believer? That loving of our neighbours as ourselves. That gospel precept where love is mixed with everything that we do. But dear friends, do we know the love of Christ? Do we know his mighty mercy? And therefore, is it seen in our actions? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. But finally, this evening, what else should it lead us to? It should lead us to obedience. If you are humbled tonight, that the Lord has not dealt with you as you deserve, what are you resting in? You're resting in the mercy through Jesus Christ. You're resting not in yourself, you're resting in another. And if you are resting in the finished work of Christ and trusting wholly and solely in him for your salvation, what does he say to those that have known a little of their sin and have been led to trust in him? Told to take up their cross and follow him. They're told to follow in the ordinances of his house. They are told to acknowledge the love and mercy of their Lord and Saviour through the open profession of his goodness toward them. All this flows from this verse. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. We've looked at this personally, and maybe we should just touch on this nationally at this time. As we have had that election period and we now have a new government, we know not what the coming times will have for us. But one thing we do know, that he has not dealt with us nationally after our sins. He has still remembered mercy. We have not been cut off as we deserve. You think of the great criminality that goes on and is promoted by our governments over many decades. The slaughter of the many millions of unborn children and babies. When we think of the perversion of the word of God, the desecration of the Lord's day, the promotion of wrong relationships and gender identities which are so contrary to the word of God. We deserve the judgment of God. But he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has been merciful. He has been kind to this day. And do we bless the Lord for it? Do we bless the Lord? Do we acknowledge that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting? To who? Upon them that fear him. So as we draw our thoughts to a conclusion now, we started by trying to understand, or to get you to understand, that you are sinners. What you deserve. Where you will be heading, what you need. To unveil a little of the mercy that is to be found through Christ. And we'll ponder that mercy as we gather round the Lord's table shortly. That God incarnate took on human flesh, and in his state of humiliation came to be a real man, body and soul. He humbled himself, had a humble life. He suffered greatly. Think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Think upon him at Calvary, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of him in between. Think of him in the temptation that he was in the wilderness. Think of him all his journey through, in his state of humiliation. He came to this life. He came to this earth for unworthy sinners like you and me, that through his perfect obedience, through his sin-atoning sacrifice, through his satisfaction of the law in every minor detail, there is hope for you and me. Ponder these truths tonight. And what does it lead you to? And what has it led you to? Has it led you to humility, to sorrow, to gratitude, to worship, to confidence, to patience with others, to obedience? Or has it just led you to some of those and a few of them? Actually, I'm not a very loving person. I can't do that. I don't want to follow in the ordinances of Christ. Why should I? I'm not a very person that is full of gratitude. Dear friends, we are to walk according to his commands. We are to do as he has ordered. And the soul that is touched with the mercy of God will do so willingly, knowing that he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, with an address also by Mr. Cottingham. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Gary Christie is expected to preach at 7 o'clock. And after that service, there'll be a short meeting of those able to be present who are helpers with fire safety and first aid. And Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day. Our friends at St. Ives hold their special prayer meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:15. Our closing hymn is number 697. 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us. Fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
holy and just, Lord God. Give us more and more that understanding that Thou hast not rewarded us as we deserve, but that there is mercy, and that mercy is lengthened out to Thy people. And we pray that many may be washed in that crimson flood, may know sins forgiven, and may know with David what it is to bless the Lord, O my soul. So help us to rightly bless and praise Thee, that the way has been made. And now as we gather round Thy table, Lord, may we ponder that mercy further as we gather together. Lord, Thou knowest the needs of all. And we pray that through our worship today we may go on our way with something to take with us through the week, that causes us through the week to look to Thee. And we plead for the forgiveness of everything that has been wrong, not only this evening, but throughout this day. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.